Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Menards is your one-stop shop for all your summer essentials. Whether you're stocking up on everyone's favorite snacks, making a patio perfect for entertaining family and friends, or getting ready to gather around the grill, Menards has everything you need for your get-togethers all summer long. Save big money now at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. We are live out at Dunkin' at 4930 Thoroughbred Lane in Brentwood, and it is their newly remodeled Brentwood location. We're going to be out here all morning long, 6 to 9 a.m., and later on this morning at 8 o'clock, the first 100 guests in line will get 100 days of free coffee here at Dunkin'. So you're going to want to get out here, 4930 Thoroughbred Lane, and we're out here on the patio, baby. You'll see us right before you get in the building. Joe Rex Road, how are we doing? What's going on?
Good. Cold AF, but good. How about you?
Outdoor show in February.
What a concept.
It's going to be in the 40s this morning. But you know what? We're tough. This is just what we do.
This is like calling, like if you know, like at the Olympics or something, calling like cross-country skiing or something. You know what I mean? So I'm going to pretend I'm doing.
What a jump.
Well, there's no jumping. Cross-country skiing, it's just kind of – it's like when the cars go by us. That's what pretend they're cross-country skiers.
Yes.
And or skeet. I like the skeet event.
Nick already had people complaining about no sound on YouTube, so we'll get those things figured out as we sort through this morning. We got a lot to get into on the show today. Jared Stillman, I think, is going to be with us at 7 o'clock. You know, I texted for his availability last night and didn't hear back, so I don't know what's going on in New Orleans. I don't know what he's doing out there. But we'll see at 7 o'clock.
He better show up. if he doesn't show up, you know, he drags me from my life at 5 o'clock every Wednesday, and it really goes till about 5:50. It's not 5 to 5:30. Jerry versus Joe goes about 5 to 5:50. He better get his butt up at 7 a.m. today. I don't care what happened in New Orleans, Jared. You've been called out.
Well, now I kind of hope he doesn't.
Yeah.
I want to see what you
do. Total meltdown.
I want to see what you do if he doesn't
show up. A 9-minute run.
Nick, get all the drops we have of Jared and just be ready to run them for 11 straight minutes if he doesn't show up at 7. There you go.
I've got a lot to choose from. TD will be with us. At 8 o'clock, we'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. And, you know, somebody want to bring us some gloves. We could probably do that, too. See what all happens there. And then I think what Joe is really excited for today and really, you know, almost why we're doing the show today, the final Pigskin Pick'em edition of the season. I have not updated the standings yet, so I need to do that. I'm sure you probably have. I need to do that before the competition takes place. I know that I'm in last place and have no chance to win, and it's down to you two. So we'll see how that goes.
The question is which of us are you buying pizza for?
Yes.
And Nick still has the edge, but I got a shot.
Okay. We'll get into that at 8:30. Joe, let's begin before – we got a lot to get into here in this first hour. A lot of things going on. Let's begin with the Lady Vols taking down UConn last night. I don't know if you heard on the broadcast, Joe, because they said it approximately 78 times. But it was the first time since 2007 that Tennessee has taken down UConn in the matchup. They win last night. Kim Caldwell, 18 days after giving birth, coaching Tennessee to their biggest victory in quite some time against UConn last night. What did you make of that game, and what does this win signify to you for Kim Caldwell and this Lady Vols program?
Well, I don't know if she needed validation. I mean, it's been an impressive debut season already for Kim Caldwell, and especially, like you said, when you factor in, I'm gonna go away for a couple days, have a baby, be right back to practice, you know. But, I mean, to me, this means that Kim Caldwell has got to be on the real short list for National Coach of the Year. And, you know, that hire, that whole move Danny White, you know, made, you know, obviously firing Kelly Harper And then hiring a relatively unproven coach. A lot of people were mad. I remember the Knoxville News Sentinel had like an entire like, you know, if the print edition would have been like an entire page of angry letters at Danny White, you know, because you know, Kelly Harper is a program legend, so there's an extra element to it, which is why to me they needed to get away from that and they needed to just try to be a great basketball program. Kim Caldwell can coach.
Yep.
And they've got some good players. I mean, Z Spearman had some huge plays. Talasia Cooper's just been a really good player this year. I mean, Paige Beckers last night, it was an amazing fourth quarter. Paige Beckers is hitting huge shots, getting the lane, hitting a three to tie it. It was a fantastic fourth quarter, and I tell you what, man, that is just a massive win for Tennessee. Great. I mean, this puts them in, to me, a really good position to potentially host in the first week of the NCAA tournament. But more importantly, like, just to send Geno Packin.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with an L.
That one felt
with
good.
With a big L and a frown on his face. I mean, it's been a long time for Tennessee fans.
No, look, I've told you, I've struggled to watch the men's team recently because every time I do, they can't shoot. So when I saw that they were shooting well the other night against Missouri, I just left that one alone. I did watch that one last night.
Okay.
I felt very good.
And they shot well?
They shot well.
They made huge play after huge play.
My negative effect does not impact the Lady Vols, but apparently it does the men's basketball team. So we'll see how that goes and plays out the rest of the year. Big win for Tennessee last night. The NFL Honors taking place last night as well. Josh Allen walking away with the MVP. Kevin O'Connell, Coach of the Year. You had Saquon Barkley winning Offensive Player of the Year. Patrick Surtain winning Defensive Player of the Year. And a big shocker here, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Jaden Daniels from the Washington Commanders last night. Let's start with just the MVP part of it. Josh Allen edging out Lamar Jackson in the MVP race. Your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that are either way I would have been fine. But a couple things. One, someone voted Lamar fourth.
Yeah, that's a little ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
They're from Buffalo?
God, see, that's the thing. If it's like to try to basically stuff the ballot box, if it's something like that, that's you should never vote for another thing in your life. So I hate that. And also, it's really weird that the AP, like player or the All-Pro voters are the same. But they voted Lamar in that, yeah. And they voted – Josh Allen, you know what I mean?
I hate it when they do that. There should be consistent.
Yeah. I mean, I guess some of them, the idea is like, well, let's have one of them. We'll have one.
I cannot stand that.
Yeah, this is the one that people care about. And so, again, I have no problem with Josh Allen. He's a worthy MVP. Either of them would have been worthy. The way the voting actually went bothers me a little bit. But that happens a lot. Voting, we've talked – I mean, I've complained about the Heisman many times, yep. You know, and how people do that. It just – Yeah, this whole thing, you know, I think the worst is when you're such a homer for whatever team you cover that you do things to try to influence outcomes. Man, get the hell away from voting for anything.
Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2025. We talked about this with PK the other day, and this was coming out last night. Jared Allen, Sterling Sharp, Eric Allen, and Antonio Gates, the 2025 Hall of Fame members. So no Eli Manning in his first year of eligibility, which quite frankly, Joe, I don't know that I'm surprised by. I think he's probably going to get in at some point, but I did not think that he was going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and I think that's right. I think both things are right. Look, I think ultimately he should get in when you talk about, you know, the longevity of the numbers. When it comes down to it, those two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
If you're going to knock players, you know, if you're going to compare players and separate them by Super Bowls and sometimes with, you know, keep players out, there, you know, McNair and Eddie George are talking about what if they would have won that game? Like, what, you know, would that be a difference maker for them? Derek Mason, you know, there's guys here who haven't gotten in. To me, Eli Manning beating Brady in those two Super Bowls is ultimately going to get him in. To me, some people will say, well, the Manning name will get him in. I think it's those two wins. And, you know, he had great numbers. I've heard Kaharski's spiel, and I agree. Like, it's like Derrick Henry's a Hall of Famer for sure, in part because he's like the clear best running back from his era, whereas Eli Manning was clearly a tier below the very top guys. And I hear that. I do. But I think we'll get in. I also think it's right that he is not in on the first ballot.
I would agree with that. Jared Allen getting in. We had him on our show last year talking about the Hall of Fame. He didn't get in last year. Finally punches his ticket. Interesting guy, that Jared Allen. Yeah. I enjoyed having him on the program. It was good.
Good at curling, too.
He's very, very, very good.
Good at many things.
At curling.
But, no, good for him, and he's worthwhile.
I agree. Yeah.
He's absolutely worthy.
I agree. So some other comments last night that Titans fans have run ragged with. So Derrick Henry was being interviewed, I think, by Diana Russini. And he was talking about, you know, just his career and how much time he thinks he's got left and all those things. And in those comments to Diana Russini, he mentioned that, you know, he wants to end his career in Baltimore. And he's the quote that Russini put out there was, "I want to retire a Raven," which has gotten Titans fans all upset. Now, look, I was not there for the conversation, obviously. I didn't hear exactly the way he said it. I'm just reacting to, like, the written, quotated form of it. I mean, my guess is what he's talking about is, like, the Ravens are the last team I want to play for before my career ends. I don't know that he's saying, like, I want to end my career and I will be a Baltimore Raven and nothing else. But, man, there's a lot of Titans fans that are like, Derrick Henry is now dead to me after those comments last night.
I'm missing something here. I mean, yeah, if he said, I will always consider myself only a Raven, then okay. But, I mean, that's where he is. I mean, right? He doesn't want to keep moving around. That's what it means to me.
I think so, and I think he likes the situation that he's in. And look, you know, by all accounts, the Ravens are a great organization. People love playing for the Ravens, so that's great. But a lot of Titans fans very upset by that.
Dead to
night.
Me.
If he doesn't come back and retire as a Titan for a day, it's all invalidated.
I will say, so, I mean, since we're talking Hall of Fame, it will be interesting. Let's say he plays one more year, has a great year with the Ravens. You know, let's say they don't get to the Super Bowl, but they have another great year. They get to the AFC title game or something like that. He has a 1,500-yard year. And then, you know, he retires or he goes somewhere else or, you know. Yeah, let's say that he retires, you know. I don't think he will, but I'm just saying hypothetically. Yeah. I know this is another thing Carson said. Well, that's overrated, but, is he a Titan going to the Hall of Fame or is he a Raven going to the Hall of Fame?
I mean, he should be a Titan. But
I would think so.
I don't know.
I would think he'd be a Titan. I would think it would take several years of Ravens work for him to switch. But
or Super Bowl.
We'll see. Yeah. Yeah, if you win it all with them, then that's a game changer in a lot of ways.
Then Titans fans will really be mad.
Yeah.
And they can really get after it on that front. Lots going on today here on the program. We'll take your reaction to the NFL honors last night, the Lady Vols taking down UConn. And coming up next, are NFL decision makers complete morons around the league? We'll get into that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are live out at Duncan in Brentwood, 4930 Thoroughbred Lane. The grand opening, reopening of the Duncan out here. Come on out and see us. We're going to be out here till 10 a.m., so make sure that you come out, say hi, grab some Duncan coffee. We'll have some tickets to give away a little bit later in the program as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, the decision-making in the NFL sometimes leaves some, I think, a lot to be desired. You know, we talked earlier a few weeks ago with the story coming out at The Athletic about the New York Jets and making some player evaluations and some personnel decisions based off Madden ratings in the EA Sports video game. Apparently, they're not the only ones that value the Madden ratings. So, the Baltimore Ravens, and this process, you know, Super Bowl media days are going on and all these, there's lots of stories happening. Let's see here. General manager Eric DaCosta from the Ravens was on with Todd McShay. That's where he was at. Todd McShay of the Ringer. And he was talking about, like, player evaluation and also said that they use Madden ratings as well. He said, quote, "For instance, Madden ratings. Who would have ever thought an NFL team would use Madden ratings in one of their models? Well, we do. I'm just giving you a small piece of what we do." So apparently, Madden ratings, not just a New York Jets thing, apparently this is more common around the league than we thought, which leads me to just ask the question, what are we doing in the NFL? What the heck's going on out here where we're using Madden ratings as a part of your system to evaluate players?
That's pretty amazing after the Woody Johnson thing, because he – actually, Woody Johnson should send Eric DaCosta – I don't know, I was going to say a fruit basket, but, like, send him, like, a Rolex or something. Yeah. Like, you're a billionaire. I mean, because, like, Woody Johnson was destined to be just made fun of forever. But now, I guess this is the best organization, arguably, in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, like, you look at what they've done to sustain that success. It was very difficult to do. So, first of all, it's a funny thing to think about. What goes into the Manning ratings? I mean, there is actually, like, there is input from actual NFL people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, is it legit to use Madden ratings? Should we rethink that? Is it actually? It sounds absolutely ludicrous to me.
I mean, it sounds ludicrous to me too. As somebody who's grown up playing Madden, like, I know. First off, some of the ratings
he's got a 99
at times are just
terrible,
awful.
Right?
Right. Yeah,
they're
like
way
some
off.
Of them. It's like there's, you know, you could go back and find different examples of quarterbacks that were either criminally overrated or criminally underrated in the game. But the fact that, like, this is apparently a thing, and people – now, Eric DaCosta, you know, is pointing out here, like, it's not, like, the major part of what they do, thankfully, but it is a part of their process here. I wouldn't even think that that would even come to mind for an NFL executive to make decisions on.
It's wild. It's wild. You know, this brings me back to a story. I probably have told this, but several years ago when I was at the Tennessean, we being Mike Organ primarily, did a podcast – a series. I think it was. It might have just been on, like, the Titans, either the Titans coming to town or maybe just on that Super Bowl season. But regardless, Floyd Reese came into the Tennessean, and we were talking about, like, you know, player values, kind of stuff like this. And he's like, you know, in the 70s, like, you know, before he was a GM, he's like these guys would seriously get a college football All American, like a Street and Smith, go through the All Americans and draft off that. Like, seriously. Like, they didn't – before they had a combine. I mean, you hear stories of the draft, like, great all-time players who, you know, it's just like – I mean, people know they were good in college, and they got a call, hey, you've been drafted by the Boston Patriots. And, I mean, just absolutely nothing goes into it other than, well, I heard this guy's good in college. Let's try him.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's pretty amazing to think about that, where it's gone. But, like, there's so much – I mean, how many people out here just – you know, we got Karski, got James Foster, right? Who, like, all these people who break down film,
yep,
and dig in at a granular. I mean, Stilley, you know, he's breaking down film. Why don't we do some? Let's use some of Stilley's film evaluation.
Yeah.
You know,
Stilley's film room.
But all this information, every single thing broken down to the absolute, you know, to the grain, and we're talking about Madden ratings. It's just it's wild.
No, it's crazy. Now it also kind of lends to, I think, something we've talked about here on the program before. Like, how much information is too much, right? Like, is there an over-evaluation that takes place in the NFL? Because, like, has the hit rate of your free agent signings and or draft picks, like, has it really changed all that much league-wide over the last 20, 30 years? I don't know what the answer is. Like, somebody needs to do a deep dive and evaluate those things. I'm sure it's gotten better. Because there is more, like, there are more people devoted to those things, and there are more, you know, people in personnel departments, scouting, and all that. But sometimes I wonder if we've gone, like, too crazy in the NFL here, and it's just a little bit counterproductive with all the different information that's out there.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it's just like coaching a team. You'll hear this a lot from coaches. It's like, look, the coaches sit there and they go through everything, and they've got all this stuff. How much do you give your players?
Yeah,
because you your players need to be able to execute, like, something that makes sense and is not overly complicated. You could give them the entire lump sum of information, and what's it going to do? At some point you're playing slower because you have so much information. Not a perfect analogy, but the same kind of idea. Like, yeah, is there too? I mean, so many people, all these scouts. And now you got the Madden ratings. You have to factor that in. You got to weave that into the equation. No, it's interesting. That's a good question. I mean, I don't know the answer to that. You know, it's still like you just don't know what someone's going to do when they get to the NFL. You don't know if someone's going to be Isaiah Wilson, right? There's so many intangible factors that have nothing to do with it. It doesn't have nothing to do with it because people do, like, try to figure out who everybody is. The Titans did serious homework on Tavondre Sweat, for example, last year. But you still just don't know. And I still think that's a huge part of it. That and injuries can obviously blow up any evaluation.
I need to go back and look at the College Football 25 video game ratings and see who's ranked higher, Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. It's probably Shedeur heading into it. Now, I wonder if Cam Ward ever caught up throughout the year.
That's right, because they do update it, don't they? Yeah. Interesting. That's a good question. I think
we'll
have our answer.
I bet the Titans have already done that. Like, Brian Callahan's logged on to the PS5 long ago. I'm like, guys, just so you know, Cam Ward finally caught up Shedeur Sanders. He ranked a little bit higher. Cam Ward's a 92. Shedeur Sanders was a 90.
I mean, look, based on my play of Super Tecmo Bowl, you know, QB – Randall Cunningham wouldn't give his name, okay, but it was QB Eagles on there. We had QB Eagles, QB Bills, and QB Browns, Jim Kelly, those three would not sign up. QB Eagles was absolutely the best quarterback in the NFL. People just didn't realize it at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Based on my play, he absolutely dominated.
And then there's – what did Thomas Dimitroff say yesterday? So I'm sitting there at the Centennial Sportsplex yesterday, and I'm caught in this group thread between you and Stilly and Caroline, and you and Stilly are screaming back and forth about Thomas Dimitroff. What happened yesterday?
Yeah, so A to Z Sports published this. They wrote about this. He did an interview on another station. And essentially, to boil it down, he said that the plan that he gave – to the Titans was that Levis needed to be the starter next year. Which is, as soon as I read that, I texted the three of us. I said, wow, your guy, Thomas Dimitroff, still, he seems like a really smart GM.
Stunning.
How did he not
get
this job? That's an amazing plan. Now, of course, now there's dispute about the veracity of, so I don't know, did Thomas Dimitroff go on another station and just completely lie through his teeth for 10 straight minutes? I don't know. People are talking about it. I don't know. But
they had him struck in the meeting?
Now, Thomas, we're just not going to do that. But we appreciate your interest in the job.
We got Rand. Oh, wait. No, we don't.
We got Rand. Oh, wait. I fired him. We got one of the best coaches. Fired him, too.
Hey, here we go. Keezer's got this. Shedeur 93, Cam Ward 87. This is obviously out of 100, right?
Yep.
And by the way, as I look at this, I'm looking at my text to you guys of Bill Belichick and his girlfriend. That was a good moment from last night. Holy cow, Bill Belichick. Like, seriously, it's like your granddaughter, bro.
It's pretty weird.
It's like your granddaughter dressed up when you go to Disney and you're going to meet the princesses.
Yeah.
Like, she's dressed up like one of the princesses she's going to meet at Disney. And you're her granddad, and actually she's your girlfriend. And Vrabel was laughing his ass off when Snoop Dogg made fun of it.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the idea of NFL teams making decisions based off Madden ratings. And Bill Belichick's relationship, I guess, is on the table, too, on the text line.
Let's get into it.
More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Because I've been a football fan for a long, long time. I mean, I remember back when the Cowboys was good. I remember back when the Chiefs was bad. And I remember, what was it? Bill Belichick's girlfriend wasn't even born yet.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Snoop Dogg bringing the jokes last night at the NFL Honors Awards.
Snoop Dogg bringing the jokes and then Nick bringing in the Nas. I like it for the intro. Seriously. Okay, you guys are going to Disney this weekend.
Yeah.
Have you guys done that princess thing? Because we did it with Caroline.
Oh, yeah.
Where you set up a time and you meet the princess?
Doing it again.
Yep. I'm telling you. That's what I thought of when I saw her last night.
It is very weird. But, hey, look, Bill, they seem very happy together. With all the pictures I've seen, they seem very happy together.
I'm so excited that they were ready. You know, because you have to be ready. You're producing that show, and you have to be ready. Like, whose reaction do you need to get? They had that sucker on Vrabel. They're like, this that guy, he will laugh. I promise you, he will laugh at Belichick. And, oh, my God, Vrabel stifling the laughs was by far the best part of that.
I'm so glad he's back in the league as a head coach. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, someone on the text line is saying, I mean, but they're not really giving me any details, but apparently I know Stilly went on, like, his favorite little Boston show.
Oh, Felger Mass?
Yeah,
let's talk about Vrabel.
You know, and someone was like, said he was on one, and I didn't hear it. I said, give me the recap, and they just said that he and Vrabel ate and drank at the same pub in his neighborhood. Well, I know that place.
I do, too.
Vrabel does, too.
Vrabel's a big fan of it, from what I hear.
They got all the stuff hanging on the walls.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff.
So, I mean, tell me more about why still he was on one. I'd like to hear some of his stuff from yesterday because, you know, I have my serious doubts that he's going to wake up at 7 a.m. and come on our show today.
I mean, we're going to find out here in about 26 minutes whether or not he's going to make it. I mean, it's Super Bowl week. He's been in on Radio Row. He's had about 1,000 guests on Radio Row. But he owes us. Like, this is what we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock.
This is his obligation.
Yeah.
Just like Jared versus Joe. You know, doesn't matter what's happened in my life. I'll be there for Jared versus Joe. So you have a hit every Friday at 7, Jared. Let's see if you can be a professional.
Did they respond back to me last night? No, yes. No, no. Just disrespectful.
Just caught in the vortex of Bourbon Street.
I've heard it's kind of wild down there. Have you ever been to New Orleans for a Super Bowl? How many Super Bowls have you covered?
I've never been to a Super Bowl.
Okay. There you go.
Never been to Super Bowl. Never been to New Orleans for Super Bowl. I'm sure it's I've been there
lively.
I've never been there for Mardi Gras either. I've been there for just nine times and it's crazy. So yeah, it's gotta be quite a scene.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing how that goes this weekend. Some of the stories I've heard down there already. There's all kinds of parties being thrown. Like Stilly was talking yesterday how there was like a Club Shay Shay party for Shannon Sharp. He was throwing one down there. So
okay.
I don't know what all goes into that, but Jared Sharp's an interesting dude.
No doubt. Had some interesting stuff going on in the social media. Yeah, I heard Defeated, Forgiven, Likeable. What's the show?
At Sportsman Life?
Yeah, thank you.
Defeated. Welcome into Defeated.
No, Undefeated. Oh, undefeated. It was un-something, you know. I heard they were talking about, like, they were on Bourbon Street, and then like this, you know, like a suburban, with all the security guards, and Brady walked into a club, you know, Tom Brady, hopefully all Botoxed up.
Your boy. One thing that's interesting on that front, like Greg Olson has been making the media tour, and he's talked about like you know how upset he is that he's not calling the Super Bowl, and he's like it's nothing personal against Tom Brady. He's like actually Tom Brady and my relationship is pretty good. Like, I have a great relationship with the people at Fox. But, it's, you know, it's like when I was playing. Like, you play, you want to get in the league, and then you want to be a starter. And once you're a starter, you want to be an all-pro. And when you're an all-pro, you want to be a Hall of Famer. Like, that's what I want to be. Like, I want to be the best at what I do in calling a Super Bowl. And then he was on with, I think, Shannon Sharp and Ocho Cinco. And Ocho Cinco made sure to step in, like, the middle of his little speech there. And was like, yeah, I want to call games this next season, too. It's like, thanks,
me
Chad.
Me too, Greg. Me too.
Thanks, Chad. Appreciate it.
No, look, I really think he's the best analyst out there. Romo, you know, has gotten a little – I still think Romo's good. But Romo, at times, I don't know if it's lack of preparation or just – I don't know. He's annoying at times. I think Greg Olson is the best analyst, and he would have been fantastic for the Super Bowl. He would have been fantastic all year in the top games, and Brady got it. And – you just got to – I still need to understand what the actual benefit is. I mean, I know what the cost is. It's that fans who like good analysis get worse analysis because Tom Brady's doing it instead of – well, what's the benefit? I mean, like how many people are clicking because he's doing
it? I'll tell you what the benefit is. The benefit is that Fox as a whole, beyond getting him on the broadcast, gets him on all the TV stuff. And probably more importantly, they get into schmooze behind the scenes
for
all of their big donors and sponsors.
Yeah, and I've heard that. So, you know, okay. I mean, I'm sure that there's value in that. But I guess it would be great if the actual quality of the product came high on the list of concerns.
I would agree. Now, again, like I thought early in the year he was really bad. I think he's gotten better. It's still not great.
Yeah.
But I think he's gotten better. Yeah.
He's okay.
I think you nailed it the other day when you said Brady is probably – he would probably be like the – he's probably good enough to be on like the third or fourth crew.
Yeah.
It's probably about right.
Which is pretty good in your first year.
Yeah.
But
he's no Jason Witten.
I don't remember Greg Olson's first year, you know. Yeah, Witten – he is better than Witten. Like, at Witten's first year in Monday Night Football, I think Brady is better than that.
I would agree.
Witten was trying to just be Romo, and it didn't go well. But I don't remember, like, Greg Olson starting out. But I just feel like – so maybe it was rough, and maybe he got way better, but I just feel like it's just really to be able to do what he does, which is, again, quickly see something and then quickly be able to deliver the information on it that is beyond the obvious.
Yep.
It's a There's no way that's easy to do. He's tremendous at it. Brady is not. Brady talks about, you know, yeah, when I was at Super Bowl, we had did a parade. Okay, thanks, Tom. He's fine. He's not terrible, okay? But it's absolutely subpar for what you would expect for a Super Bowl, and that's what we're all going to get on Sunday. Yay.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing. He could have, you know, he saved his best performances in his career for the Super Bowl. Maybe that's what he's doing for broadcast as well. He's just ready to go.
Maybe. Maybe. I'm sure that when the camera closes in on him, he will be shiny and beautiful.
And he'll be making a pitch for some quarterback and the Raiders to come play.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, yeah, the Raiders.
Any of
thing,
you out there
the way,
watching, who would like to come play quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's come up this week. People have been asking Brady about that, and it's really, to me, it's problematic. Like, his responses are problematic. He's saying nothing. He's being completely vague and not answering the question, which I think, to me, confirms what everybody's been saying, which is, yeah, man, he's actually, like, running that, or he is a very – you cannot have that person doing that be broadcasting games. It's insane.
Well, to your point about the product, let's say that's going to be the plan, which it looks like it is, by the way. Like, they've asked Roger Goodell about it, and he's like, yeah, I don't have any problem with him calling games.
Right.
So he's going to call games.
Tom asks me all the time.
Right, and he's going to do his little role with the Raiders. Well, like, I would assume that means, like, you're not going to get into any of the production meetings, like the coach is not taking you behind the scenes of,
right,
you know, all the information you typically get in those broadcasts.
He wasn't all the other people were there but him at the practice the other day.
Right. Like, if I'm a coach, like, no. Like, you're not getting anywhere near my operation here. Which, again, is it the world's biggest deal? No. But, like, it does, I think, limit your information available to you on your broadcast.
I mean, he had to like set up a separate thing with Mahomes before one of the Chiefs games he called this year. It's just, yeah. So it's already, he already has limitations. He's already not great. So then you lack that, and then, you know, what about if and when the Raiders get good? Then he's calling a Raiders game. Like, it's, you know, there should be a separation there. It seems like it should be obvious, but again, people get so, you know, glazed over by the Brady crap that they just let him do whatever he wants.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. There is a trade target out there in the NHL that Predators fans have been talking about for years that is apparently now available, and now that time has come, quite frankly, I want no part of it. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal, Prince's Hot Chicken, the original and iconic hot chicken joint. Get half off a $25 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Gift card only good for the Tanger outlets in Antioch and inside Assembly Food Hall in downtown Nashville. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios is Nick Kieser, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We are out here today in Brentwood at the grand reopening of the Dunkin', 4930 Thoroughbred Lane. We're going to be out here all morning long. And starting at 8 o'clock, Dunkin' will be giving away 100 days of free coffee to the first 100 guests in line. Again, starting at 8 a.m., we're going to be out here all morning long for our show. We'll be out here through 10 o'clock as well. So head on out, 4930 Thoroughbred Lane here in Brentwood. And we're out here on the patio. Already saying hi to people. Had Tim just stop by, and appreciate him stopping by. So the people are flowing in. People are flowing in.
The heat is not, but the people are.
The people are. So, Joe, there is apparently a player that has been made available for trade, or that will be made available for trade, that the Anaheim Ducks are listening in on, and that is Trevor Zegras. Now, we have talked about Trevor Zegras several times here on this show. As, you know, the Predators – throughout the entirety of their franchise, have been looking for that young, dynamic, game-changing centerman. Now, what's interesting about Zegras is he has played center in his career, and he's also been primarily on the wing as of late. Now, he's still only 23 years old, Trevor Zegras. He has dealt with a lot of injury problems over the course of the last couple of years, to the point where it makes you really start to wonder, has it totally eliminated his effectiveness as a player? So, 2 seasons ago, Trevor Zegras had 23 goals, 42 assists, and 65 points at the age of 21. So you're talking about a 21-year-old that put up 65 points. The year before that, he put up 61. So you felt like he was one of those players that was on the ascent. You know, he was on the cover of the video game. Like, he had a bunch of highlight reel goals. Like, he felt like he had the chance to be, you know, one of those new faces of the league. And since then, he's run into injury problems, and the production has just fallen off a cliff. He played 31 games last year. He had 15 points, 6 goals, 9 assists. Funnily enough, he's actually played the exact same amount of games this year so far, 31 games, and he's got the exact same production, 6 goals, 9 assists for 15 points. So he's going to end up playing more this year than he did a year ago, but the production is gone. Now, on one hand, he's 23 years old and has demonstrated when he's been healthy prior to these injuries, he's pretty darn good. On the other hand, the injuries have become a huge problem, and the production has totally halted with him. So I guess what I'd really love to know is, what's the price going to be for Trevor Zegras? A couple years ago, I would have not blinked about this. Right now, quite frankly, if I'm the Predators, I'm not sure I have any interest in Trevor Zegras whatsoever. Your thoughts on this?
He's Keith Primo.
Yeah.
If anybody knows Keith Primo, it looks good. It's all there, but it just doesn't work out for whatever. And like you said, look, he's 23. But, yeah, even a year ago, I mean, I definitely floated it like, man, maybe this, you know, it hasn't gone well. But, you know, he's obviously a very enticing talent. It would have to, I mean, to me, it's like, I mean, look, his availability should tell you something if that's the case, right? Yeah. I mean, that should kind of tell you what you need to know. He's 23. They badly need a young core to grow up with, and he's available?
Yeah.
Okay. That should tell you all you need to know. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. And I have been totally on that train previously, but I think at some point you have to look at reality with him.
Yeah, I there's a chance that he gets through all these injuries and, you know, maybe he has a healthy offseason, he gets through things and a change of scenery and he looks more like the player he did before. I get really concerned when the combination of an injuries and the production just totally falls off the table the way that it has. And again, to your point, like, Anaheim is a team that, you know, they got Leo Carlson and they've tried to really build some young pieces around Troy Terry and some of this young core that they've got there. And he was supposed to be a huge part of that. And he's just not right now. And the fact that they've reportedly made him available, I'd really love to see what the price ends up being for him. Like, it's one thing. Like,
I'd take a flyer if it's low enough.
I'd say if I'm the Predators, I'm not interested. And that's because, like, you know, people floated out the idea, like, could you give up, like, a fourth-round pick for Trevor Zegras? I don't think it's going to be that. Like, I think somebody is probably still going to get enamored with the potential and what we've seen there, so it'll probably drive the price up a little bit. But, heck, if it's something like that, then, yeah, throw your name in the hat and take a shot. I just don't know that I've got a ton of confidence that he's going to bounce back based on just how bad it's been the last couple of years.
Is there still Sega NHL?
I don't think so.
What's the primary, like, NHL video game?
It's just NHL 25.
On, like,
EA Sports, like the Madden equivalent.
On, like, PlayStation. What's his rating on that? I mean, maybe you could, if you go and his rating looks good on that, you know, maybe you can talk yourself into doing it.
His rating on that's probably pretty good, if I had to guess.
I mean, are NHL GMs as schooled in all the ways of evaluating players as NFL GMs?
You know what? Now that you bring that up, I need, as much as I need currently oxygen and warmth, I need Jared Stillman next week to ask Barry Trotz how much he factors in the EA Sports NHL video games to his player acquisition. Because apparently that's the strategy in the NFL.
Yes, I need that too, because Barry Trotz is going to bring up how he once played Atari in 1982.
That's when it started. That's when I knew that this was the future for player acquisition.
The hockey on Atari 2600 was awesome. So was the football. You could just, like, go through the screen. You could, if you miss a tackle, just go through the screen and tackle them coming back the other way.
Hey,
good stuff.
Whatever it takes to get the job done. So, you know, we're going to focus so much, you know, trade-wise on the Predators, like who's leaving. I would still leave the door open, like, I don't, and Elliot Friedman said this yesterday on with DVD, and I would agree. I don't think that this is going to be some teardown here that Barry Trotz is trying to, you know, facilitate with the Predators. No, one, I don't think you can. Like, I don't think you can really tear this thing down the way it's constructed right now. So, Like, we've asked for the last couple of weeks, how do you fix it? What's the solution? Well, part of that solution may end up being using some of the assets that you've accumulated to make a splashy move and to bring somebody in here that you feel like could be a difference maker. Now, I'm not saying that's Zegras because I'm not convinced that it is. I am saying, though, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he went out looking for somebody, not to be a buyer to make the playoffs this year, not to, you know, give up some future asset for a pipe dream this right. year, but for somebody who's got some term that you feel like you could be a part of your solution next season. I would not be surprised if he tried to do that yeah. by the deadline.
Someone with more term in their life on Earth, you know, yeah. would be yeah. good. Yeah. yeah. Than some of the people they have now. And, you know, again, raise my hand. I'm way older than all of them. Cam on the text line driven by WilsonHead.com says the Ducks want a D-man. He says Zegras for Shea. I would spend one of our three first-rounders on Zegras. Really? You'd give him Shea in a first-rounder? Cam? I don't know, buddy. I don't think you should be GMing. I would not do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's first off, Brady Shea, they're not taking him. Like, Brady Shea right now is an unmovable deal. Okay, let's just call it what it is.
Which
right
is
now,
tough.
He's an unmovable deal, and he's got a big part of them fixing it is fixing him. Like, they've got to figure out how he has to play with this team moving forward. I don't believe that he's turned 30 and has come to a new place and has just completely forgotten how to play hockey, but they got to get that figured out this offseason. You know, Anaheim needing a defenseman, too, is – I mean, they need a young defenseman, but they've got a – semi-decent defense core that they put together. You know, they made the Jacob Trouba deal. Like, they really need to bolster this young forward core. They've got Gauthier in there, and they've got, you know, Terry, and they've got Carlson. But even like Carlson was their first-round pick a couple years ago here in Nashville. And he's been okay so far. He has not been, I think, what they've expected to this point. So there's still a lot to figure out on that front if you're Anaheim. I'm really interested to see how that affects the return. And look, if you're Barry Trotz, you know, Barry Trotz talked about taking swings. Well, this would be a swing. I don't know if it's a swing that I'd necessarily be interested in, but this would definitely be a swing yeah. if you did that.
Yeah, it seems more like a wiffle ball swing now.
Yeah. There you go.
If that makes sense, it really doesn't. Keith says, Robbie, besides center, what positions should the Preds go after? I'd say all of them.
Well, yeah.
Goalie?
I mean, they're probably set on goalie right now, just with Onanen and Saros. But, yeah, like I would be open to anything. Like, you know, they've made some moves on defense. I'm still not convinced. Like, is Justin Barron going to be a long-term part of their team? I don't know. Like, you can see it a little bit offensively with him. Quite frankly, defensively, he has been atrocious so far. So, I like Adam Willsby. You know, Spencer Stastny got a cup of coffee here this year and has now been sent back down to Milwaukee, so I'm not sure what that's going to mean for him.
There still could be something
I think,
there,
you know,
though.
Forwards and defense, you're open to a lot of things right now if you're the Predators. I've been told Stilly will be with us coming up next via phone. Live from New Orleans. Still, he's going to be there.
He's lucky. He's lucky.
We'll have Stillman on the phone with us coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.